This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 17 of Tatooine Sons. This week's podcast is a special best of episode. First, we discussed how much Star Wars changed between episodes 4 and 5, and how that same thing happened all over again with The Last Jedi. Next, BB Nate tells the amazing story of how he named Turbis the Porg. And finally, we publicly release a special segment about Broom Boy that until now was available only to our Patreon supporters. Sometimes we must let go of our pride and do what is asked of us. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to Tatooine Sons, a weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the space fantasy saga with his two sons. And if you're a regular listener to Tatooine Sons, you already know this episode is starting very differently than what you've heard before. Let me explain. I am David, the Bowtie Jedi Guy Jesse, and in previous episodes, normally I am joined by my two sons, Samuel the Hutt, who's 16, and BB Nate, who is 12, but they are on spring break. And our original intention was to have three episodes ready to go before they left for spring break. They get a 2-week spring break and they go to their grandparents at the beach and spend a few weeks with them. Normally, our intention was to have multiple episodes recorded for this, but BB Nate was sick when we were recording, and getting a third episode out of him that weekend was going to be pretty tough. So we have decided to do something a bit different. And what we're going to be doing this week is we are going to be looking at three segments from previous podcasts and some of our best of moments. And the first two you probably have heard before if you're a regular listener to Star Wars, to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. The first one is a really interesting conversation that we had about the parallels between the changes in the trilogy, in the original trilogy from episode 4 to the beginning of episode 5, and how everything changed in that interim period, and how that seems to be paralleling itself in the changes between Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. It was a really interesting discussion. We've had lots of comments and listener feedback on that section, or that previous episode, which is from several weeks ago. So we thought we'd go ahead and play that again for you today. We're also going to be going through and letting BB Nate tell the amazing story of how he got to name the Porg on the Millennium Falcon. So we're excited about sharing that with you. And then the third segment today will be an exclusive that we put out for our Patreon listeners back several weeks ago, where we look at a segment from the Collider IMAX screening of The Last Jedi, the Q&A that took place with Rian Johnson afterwards. And on that Q&A, he was asked about the idea of Broom Boy. And we created a little 15 or so minute podcast that we sent to exclusively to our Patreon supporters about 6-7 weeks ago. And it was then that they got to hear our discussion regarding the Broom Boy, which is a big deal for us when we saw The Last Jedi, at least for me specifically, the boys, maybe not as much, but we had a really good conversation and recorded that based on our thoughts on his comments that are on there as well. And excuse me, I think you'll enjoy hearing that since most of you haven't had that chance. So hold on to the end for that one. But before we can get into that, we have to go back and look at our poll for last week. Last week's podcast poll of the week was, would you be concerned if Domhnall Gleeson, who plays General Hux in the sequel trilogy, would you be concerned if Domhnall Gleeson wasn't brought back to play General Hux in Star Wars Episode 9? This was based on a conversation that he had in an interview when he was doing some press junket for Peter the Rabbit, which he's in. And he had mentioned he hadn't heard from J.J. Abrams yet. He's not even sure if he was going to be in it. And there were some articles that went out a couple of weeks ago, speculating that maybe there wouldn't be a General Hux in the next movie. Since then, further articles have come out, which sort of allude to the fact that this was him playing around and trolling a little bit with the fans, which is great. I love that. In fact, Daisy Ridley said very similar comments on her press tour for the same movie, which interestingly enough, she's in. But you got to vote on that. We had 172 votes, and 20% of you said you're not concerned about it at all. In JJ, you trust. And so I thought that was interesting. Then we had 21% of you that didn't care either way. You answered you were neutral on this. And then 59% of you said you would be very concerned if General Hux was not in Star Wars Episode 9. And I think we would agree with you on that. So, General Hux and his back and forth and the dynamic between him and Kylo Ren is something that is pretty amazing. I think it's going to come to a climax in Episode 9, and we will be able to see sort of almost maybe a civil war within the First Order, as both Kylo Ren, who seems to have anointed himself Supreme Leader of the First Order, is opposed by General Hux. And they've never gotten along in the entire trilogy, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that. All right, so we're going to jump right into the first segment for this week, and I'll set that up a little bit for you here. That is when we got done watching The Last Jedi, and if you're a Star Wars fan, you're listening to Star Wars podcasts, I'm fairly confident you're aware of the backlash that's been out there regarding The Last Jedi. There's a small but very vocal contingency of Star Wars fans that think that The Last Jedi is an abomination, and that Rian Johnson, if we were still in an era of tarring and feathering, I think that they would be calling for that right now. And part of the reason is because they said The Last Jedi did not continue the story of The Force Awakens with, some integrity. Things changed so much. Their idea was he threw out everything from The Force Awakens and started all over again and changed everything with it. And so we look at that idea, but we also compare that same reaction that took place between Episode 4, Star Wars A New Hope, the original Star Wars movie, and Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Now, it's interesting because Empire Strikes Back is generally considered to be the greatest of all the Star Wars movies. But we have to remember that when The Empire Strikes came back, The Empire Strikes Back came out, it was very different than what people expected, and some fans reacted very strongly against The Empire Strikes Back. So join me and BB Nate and Samuel Hutt as we share our thoughts on that idea.
All right, so we've mentioned this a couple of times in the previous segment, but there is a lot of parallels between the way things change, well, between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy. But I want to talk about one specific type of parallel that exists, and that is how much the movies, the entire Star Wars universe, changed between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, and between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Now, if you're thinking about it, if you end A New Hope without having seen, if you've never seen Empire, you've never seen the prequels, you don't know who the Emperor is, you don't know who Vader is, you end A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie, with the love story being Luke and Leia.
Right.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is dead. Darth Vader is the greatest criminal or villain in the galaxy.
Yep.
You barely even hear about the Emperor.
Yeah.
He's mentioned like in one sentence by Tarkin, right? You have the good guys won in spite of all of the odds.
Right.
And it's a good, big, feel-good story.
Right.
That's the way you end A New Hope. And then you go forward from 1977 to 1980, and The Empire Strikes Back comes out. Mm-hmm. And folks, we forget because we know what happens in Empire, and we know what happens in Return of the Jedi, and the prequels, and the stories, the expanded universe, everything else. We forget how much everything changed between A New Hope and The Last Jedi. Because at the end A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. At the end of Empire Strikes Back, the love story is no longer Luke and Leia.
It's Han and Leia.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is a Force ghost. We had never heard of anything like that before.
Right.
And he's maybe a flippin' liar. Yeah. Because he told Luke that Darth Vader killed Anakin. And now Darth Vader is saying he's Luke's father. So who's telling the truth? The bad guys are dominating this movie. They win the whole every battle in the movie. Everybody is in disaster. Han Solo is frozen in carbonite, might be dead. Everything is a complete disaster at the end of Empire Strikes Back. That's exactly what goes on between episodes 4 and 5. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that?
Yeah,
I do.
So one of the things that people have been complaining a lot about, which we'll talk about in our next segment, when it comes to the reaction to The Last Jedi, is that it doesn't seem to make sense. Everything that we thought was true at the end of Force Awakens is different now that we've seen The Last Jedi. What are some of those types of differences that have taken place in this? Let's start with just like something as simple as Luke Skywalker.
Well, he's an old hermit in The Force Awakens. And then he turns into this weird Yoda type of guy. It's very...
Well, I mean, he's a hermit, but what are we expecting from Luke Skywalker at the end of Force Awakens?
To train Rey and Master Jedi.
And who is he when we watch The Last Jedi, at least up until the very end?
Very...
Before the very end, I mean, you know.
Before
we get to Crane.
Grumpy old man.
Yeah.
Really. And sort of unhinged.
Yeah.
In some ways. You know, the whole milk thing and... and... You know, even the goofy thing with the fern when Rey's, you know, he's giving the first lesson, he slapped her. That's very Yoda-esque, like what you were saying.
Yeah, that's true.
What are some of the other differences between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi? Sam?
I could probably think of them right. I'm not thinking.
Well, let's think about, at the end of The Force Awakens, the Resistance has just taken out Starkiller Base.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Death Star is destroyed at this point. Right? So, I mean, what's the way that it is at the end of The Last Jedi?
Well, Resistance fits on the Falcon.
Yeah. Like 20 people. There's nothing left of it. Another parallel, the Force Awakens, we leave that thinking that everything is about the Skywalkers. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We're speculating Rey's a Skywalker or... You know, at least it's got to do with your family lineage as far as the bloodline matters for the Force, the abilities, right? That's the way we walk away with it. How do we end The Last Jedi?
That you don't have to be a Skywalker to know the Force. That everything has the Force.
And it can still be about the Skywalkers, but it's a bit more separated because you have Kylo being sort of from the Skywalker bloodline.
Right.
So, I mean, it's still sort of about the Skywalkers a little bit. But
it's
less.
It's not about you have to be a Skywalker to be a main character in this story.
Right. That's basically.
What are some of the other. I mean, Leia's just a great general.
Yeah.
At the end of Force Awakens. And who is she at the end of The Last Jedi? When it comes to the Force?
A user.
She's like, she just flew through space.
Right.
Using the Force. Everything we thought we knew about Leia changed. Everything we thought we knew about the Resistance changed. Everything we thought about Rey changed. Mm-hmm. Everything we thought about Snoke changed. Snoke was the big bad guy in the Force Awakens that we were so highly anticipating what we would learn about him. And basically we learn it doesn't matter who Snoke is. Mm-hmm. He's dead.
More at least.
The bad guy isn't Snoke. It's Kylo. On that. I mean, everything changed. And I think that that's important for us to remember as we think about the fan reaction. Because the fans... Going back to The Empire Strikes Back, we have to remember in 1980, people were flipping out about The Empire Strikes Back. They weren't happy with it. It got very critical reviews. Fans were writing in letters to Starlog magazine and other things complaining about this movie, about Empire. And now as time goes on and you have a chance to watch it multiple times and you get a chance to appreciate the story and allow your mind to absorb the changes, Empire Strikes Back has become... what everyone pretty much considers to be the best of all of the original trilogy movies, and probably up until some people think, even through The Last Jedi, the best of all the Star Wars movies, okay? I think the same thing's going to happen with The Last Jedi. This. And I want to just real quick give a shout-out to Bradley W. Hall, at Bradley W. Hall on Twitter, because he's a great fan of ours. He's been tweeting back, and we interact with him a lot. We had this conversation going back and forth on Twitter, and he asked us to talk about this on the podcast today, and so we wanted to make sure that we did that, because we think it was a great idea to do that. So thanks, Bradley, for doing this. If you're not following Bradley on Twitter, make sure you do that. Add at Bradley W. Hall on that. So, all right, let's go ahead and talk about it.
There's
go ahead.
One more parallel.
What's that?
And that was, in this movie, and I've said this before, we learned and saw things about the Force that we had never seen before. And that same thing happened in Empire. We had the same discussion while we were waiting for our McDonald's last night. Uh-huh. We were talking, I asked him the question, I was sitting there and I'm like, I don't remember the Force being used to lift or move anything at all in Episode 4.
You're right.
And it wasn't. We both can't think of any time where that happens. The Force was just, I mean, it was used to control people's minds, and it was this weird ambient
And to
force.
Use a lightsaber, and, right. to, and to aim proton torpedoes into the Death Star.
But nothing, and so the first time we see something move with the Force is in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is hanging upside down in the Wampa cave.
Yeah!
And he reaches out for the lightsaber, and it jumps into his hand. Now, Nathan and I, and Dad, now, that's second nature to us. The Force is used to move stuff all the time. That's what you think of, right? That's what Rey thinks of. And she's like us.
Right.
It's used to control people's minds and move.
And move and lift rocks, right.
Right.
Yeah.
But back then, you'd never seen anything like that.
Right.
The Force can move stuff now. So it's very similar to what we see in The Last Jedi, in that the Force is doing things that we haven't seen before, like fly through space.
Yeah, fly through space. Force connections the way that Rey and Kylo have, projections like we see with Luke. What are some of the other differences in the Force between A New Hope? Can you think of any?
The Force Phantom?
Well, no, A New Hope and Empire is what I meant.
Oh.
I mean, it's used to move stuff.
I mean,
we see the Force Ghost.
Yeah, we see a Force Ghost for the first time in Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, this is still moving stuff, but Luke. Yoda moved an entire X-Wing.
That little short green Muppet lifted an X-Wing. Everything changed in Star Wars. What we thought about Star Wars never was the same again after Empire Strikes Back. And that's exactly the way it's going to be with The Last Jedi. And frankly, some people just don't like it. All right. So there you have it. There's our thoughts on this issue. I'm a firm believer that when time passes and people have a chance to sort of decompress from the shocking nature of The Last Jedi, that eventually fans are going to come to the conclusion that The Last Jedi, I think that there are a lot of fans already that feel like The Last Jedi is one of the greatest Star Wars movies that's ever been created, and they're big supporters of what Rian Johnson did. However, I do think that there is, you know, that this group that is in opposition, those of them that have a little bit cooler heads and that have not dug their heels in so deep that they could never back out of the position that The Last Jedi is a terrible movie, those that actually have some intellectual honesty, I think over time are going to come to appreciate this movie, if not love it. And we want to know what you think about that. So tweet to us at Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S, and use the hashtag Last Jedi Great. Last Jedi Great. And then we'll know that you're commenting on this section and give us your thoughts on it. In just a second, we're going to continue with our podcast where we start. You get to hear the amazing story from BB Nate himself of how he got to name the Porg on the Millennium Falcon. But before that, here's a word from our sponsors. Okay, welcome back. So let me set this up for you. So on January 31st, Samuel the Hutt, BB Nate, and I had the amazing privilege and opportunity to go to Hollywood to the IMAX headquarters. Not an IMAX theater necessarily. They have a theater in it, obviously, but the actual IMAX headquarters. We were invited with about 150 people to view The Last Jedi in IMAX there at their headquarters, which is an awesome opportunity in itself. But what was even more exciting was the fact that Rian Johnson, the director and writer of The Last Jedi, was going to be there afterwards, and he was going to do an extended Q&A. We had really no idea what to expect when we got there for that Q&A. We didn't know if it was just going to be the host, Steven Weintraub from Collider,
that was going to be asking the questions, or if there was even going to be an opportunity to ask questions ourselves. But we were speculating and talking about different things, and BB Nate, 12 years old, came up with an idea of a question that he wanted to ask. And so that's kind of where we're at in the conversation as we pick up in the podcast from the original episode where we talked about this, and Nathan is getting ready to explain that. So take a look, or take a quick listen to this. I think you'll be excited.
So we're sitting there and they're asking more questions after that. And I'm not trying to put Nathan on the spot. You're a 12-year-old kid, okay? I look over at you and I can see that you're visibly upset at one point. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? This is like an amazing experience. And I'm looking over here and Nathan, BB Nate, is upset about something. So I'm like asking him and he's trying to tell me, but he's also trying not to be upset. And it's obviously about he didn't get a chance to ask his question, and it was really important to him.
Yeah.
Right?
They were nearing the end of the question.
And we were getting close to the ends of the questions with it. So I don't want you to explain why right now, BB Nate, that you wanted to ask this question. Answer, or why you wanted to ask this question and your thought process behind it. Because we'll talk about that in a second, okay? And I'll let you know when. Don't talk about why it was so important for you to ask the question in your head at that point. It gets to the point, Steven Weintraub announces that they're going to be doing autographs and we have to start wrapping it up. So you got like 5 to 10 more minutes. We're going to answer as many questions as we can, or ask as many questions as we can, and Ryan's going to answer them. And I look over at Nathan, and Nathan looked like he's about ready to take on like the New England Patriots at the Super Bowl and think he's going to win. His eyes have a fire in them in that moment, and he's sitting up straight and his shoulders are back and his chest is out, and I'm like, what is going on with this kid? And what did you tell me?
I'm gonna ask the question.
Right. So he's like, I'm gonna ask this question, and I'm sitting there. Nathan is naturally an introvert, okay? He's like naturally huge. Doesn't like to talk in public and things like that. He's great at it, he's done it before, but he doesn't naturally do that, right? And so I lean over and I'm like, it's okay, Nate, you can ask him, because we have the autograph session coming up. We know what's coming. So I'm like, Nate, you can ask him at the autograph session if you want. And what did you tell me, BB Nate?
No, I'm going to ask it now.
And you meant that. It was like you were not going to be denied. So then they start asking questions rapid fire, and like two questions get through. And then all of a sudden they reach up and point towards BB Nate.
Yeah.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
There's a few, though, on the Millennium Falcon.
No, the main one. I know.
Oh, you mean the one in the back?
What do you think his name is? What do you think?
Maybe Turbis?
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis.
What just happened? Folks, okay, there's a name that's thrown in there. We're going to play this clip again for all of you listening right now. This is Ryan Johnson that's answering this question. He's answering BB Nate's question. It's a simple question. Tell us again what the question is.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon? Like the main one.
You know, right, the one that's the very, the whole and at the Battle of Crait.
Screaming, yeah, the one that was in all the,
yeah, absolutely. What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon? And this is the writer and director of The Last Jedi that's talking with him. So that's what you got here. And then he mentions the name of someone. He says, Pablo, if you're new to the Star Wars world and you're not familiar with Star Wars canon and the Lucasfilm story group, you may not know who Pablo Hidalgo is. A couple of years ago, I didn't know who Pablo Hidalgo was. Pablo Hidalgo is one of the heads of Lucasfilm story group. So let's give this the background on that. First of all, he's been working at Lucasfilm for years. He's a huge Star Wars geek and nerd. He knows more about Star Wars than any person on the planet. And he's been working for Lucasfilm for years. But in 2012, George Lucas sold Lucasfilm to Disney. And Disney made the decision that there was just too much going on in the expanded universe and too many things that were restricting the stories that they wanted to tell. So they made the decision to eliminate everything before 2012 from Star Wars canon, except for parts of the Clone Wars series that had started before that. and let the Clone Wars be canon and anything new. The original movies, the Clone Wars series, and then anything new that they came out with from that point forward would be canon, meaning official Star Wars lore. Officially right. recognized Star Wars legend and or information. And then everything else that was outside of that, they would just call the legends of Star Wars. And they would be separate stories. So Pablo Hidalgo was put in charge of this group. And so Rian Johnson mentions this guy on the video or on the recording. So let's play it again for all of you. And for now that you've got a little bit more backstory, this is, again, what happened on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
What is the name of the port on the Millennium Falcon?
What is the name of the port on the Millennium Falcon?
There's a few, though, on the Millennium Falcon.
No, the main one. I know.
Oh, you mean the one that is.
What do you think his name is? Sorry, what do you think?
Maybe Turbis?
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream...
You can't hardly hear it at the very end because the crowd is like going flipping nuts at the end here. But Rian Johnson looks at BB Nate and says, "That porg is Star Wars canon."
Boom.
What? I cannot believe that happened. BB Nate, what in the world was going through your mind when all of that happened?
Nothing. I was kind of like...
just shell-shocked?
Shell-shocked, yeah. Because I didn't even think I was going to get called on. Because they were only like...
There were 30 or 40 people raising
their
hands.
Oh, yeah. There were still so many questions.
And I was... Dad already had his question answered,
right?
And I was sitting next to him, and I thought they wouldn't go near this again. And I just raised my hand out of just pure, like, I'm just going to do it because you,
I'm going to try.
Yeah. And it happens. And I kind of am like, okay, what do I do? And so I asked a question. And I tell, and he tells me, what do I think it is? And I say the name. And... he says that porg's name, that porg is Star Wars canon.
Jeez. What? First of all, I doubt you're listening. We joke on this podcast almost every week that Ryan's listening to our podcast. Although Rian endorsed our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Check us out on Twitter. We'll have to add that. I was so busy adding sound effects from this that were like about making Star Wars canon. I forgot to add that endorsement. Rian Johnson actually endorsed our podcast and told everybody to listen to it. And if you go to our Twitter page, Tatooine Sons, it's the first, it's pinned to the top of our timeline. So you can see the video of that there, which is absolutely amazing. But anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. So I lost my train of thought. But we're sitting there and it's just like, you cannot believe that this moment is taking place. This night can't get any better.
Not talking, not right, not listening to the podcast.
What? You can just say it, Nate. I don't know what
he said.
Oh, yeah, so I was talking about not listening to the podcast. Yeah, okay, thank you. Rian, okay, if by chance, because we're going to tag Rian on this podcast and tell him that we tell this story on it and ask him to listen to it. And so, Rian, if by chance you listen to this podcast, to this episode, in the mid, which would blow our minds beyond anything we could imagine. Rian, if you're listening to this, I need you to know you made a 12-year-old boy's dream come true. And you don't know the rest of this story, Rian. The part that you're about to hear is new to you, Rian. We haven't told this to anybody. And I want BB Nate to tell it. So BB Nate, first of all, how did you come up with the idea for this question?
Well, I came up with the idea because... I love porgs, and porgs are, like, one of my favorite things. They're the Ewok of this generation.
They are the Ewoks of this generation. But people seem to like the porgs even more than they like the Ewoks.
Yeah, I was talking with Stephen Weintraub.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, oh, I love the porgs. I didn't like the Ewoks, yeah. But I love the porgs. Yeah. So.
And so I'm thinking, since it's a Q&A, we got accepted. So I started thinking of questions. And I'm like, well, what porg do you want to see on the Millennium Falcon? And I'm like, that's a good question.
What's the name of the porg on the Millennium
yeah.
Falcon?
It's a
good question. A good question, especially for kids your age. And, yeah.
And I'm like, talking with Samuel Hutt, and we're brainstorming stuff. And we're like, what happens if he asks me what the name should be? And we
don't know.
He
didn't already have a name.
All right, don't tell how you came up with the name yet, because that'll be revealed in a second. But you had the name in mind.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't come up with
the name. What's the name again of the porg on the Millennium Falcon? I'm going to ask you, not Rian Johnson, the director and writer of The Last Jedi. I'm going to ask BB Nate, what is the official name of the porg on the Millennium Falcon?
Turbis.
Turbis. That is an awesome name. The crowd loved it. And we've talked with other people. People on Twitter have said they think that name sounds like a Star Wars name. It's an awesome name for a porg. And we're going to ask you, as our poll question in a little bit for this week, what you think about the name. But, all right, here, Rian, again, if you're listening to this, more of the story. First of all, Nathan had his own little – we talk about dreams. We talk about headcanon. The fact that Nathan had thought up the question – thought up the answer, thought that Rian might, on some wild hair, ask him to give a name to the porg, and had the name already picked out. This had been envisioned in your head before we ever even got to Los Angeles. You had thought this thing through.
Yes, I have.
Which is why you were so upset, I think, about not having at least the chance to ask your question. Because if you don't ask the question, none of the other stuff that you had imagined and dreamed about could have ever come true, because you're sitting there afraid to ask the question. And so you decided to ask it.
Yeah. I was being me an introvert. I didn't have the confidence to raise my hand with 150 people in the room. And during the whole thing, they were getting to the end of the questions. And I'm beating myself up. I'm like, why did I choose that right now? Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime.
Once-in-a-lifetime chance, yeah.
You can't do anything like this anymore. And I'm like, I was stupid at that moment, so I raised my hand.
You decided you weren't going to be stupid anymore. Yeah. You weren't going to let fear dictate your life. You were going to take a chance, and what do you have to lose? Yeah. You don't get called on, you don't get called on, right?
At least you tried.
But at least you raised your hand. And because of that, you changed the history of Star Wars.
So explain, though, how we came up with the name.
Okay, Rian, please don't get upset here. This is where the name Turbis came from.
So we were trying to brainstorm some stuff, and
I threw off the idea of, like, I think it was super stupid, but it was like Fluffy McFluffy Pants.
And
something
then,
like that.
And then
what would have happened? Let's just stop for a second and take a step back and think. What would have happened if in this thing you were sitting there and Rian says, "What do you think it is?" And you said, "Fluffy McFluffy Pants." Maybe we should put that as a poll. So
no.
Oh geez. No.
And I told Sam, and I'm like, no, that's kind of a stupid name. I mean, I know it's a child, and I'm a child.
So then we both kind of came up with this next
idea. We look at our dog. And we're like, his name is Buster. And so we flip the syllables.
Well, at first we were like, what's it backwards? And we're like, Rusteb or something? Yeah, that's not going to work.
No. So we flip the syllables. And it turns into Turbis.
Spell Turbis for all of our listeners and to record in the Star Wars archives. Go for it right now. What is the spelling of Turbis?
T-E-R-B-U-S.
Yep, it's Buster with the syllable switched. What?
So that porg is named after our dog.
Kind of.
The porg is named after
our dog. Sorry, Rian.
So on a PETA loaded episode, we want you to know we have a dog. We love him very much. We take great care of him. And he was a part of the inspiration for the name of the porg on the Millennium Falcon. What do you guys think about that? Can you anything else you can think of to say after all of that?
Thank you, Rian. Yes. And thank you, Collider, for this.
Everything. Thank you, Rian.
Like, thank you.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Amazingly, a 12-year-old boy was given the opportunity to overcome his fear
overcome his stage fright. You know, it's funny. You may have heard this before. You probably have. But more people are afraid of speaking publicly than they are of dying in today's society. And, BB Nate is generally speaking, he can have a conversation with anybody. You guys can tell that because you listen to this podcast. But when it comes to crowds and being in front of people like that, he tends to get nervous like a lot of people. And I could not have been more proud as a father of him deciding he was going to take his chance to at least try and to see him rewarded for that. So here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do. It's been, let's see, that was January 31st that took place. We are at, by the time this episode airs, let's see, it's the 24th. So we are almost 2 full months from when that took place. And we have yet to have confirmation from Rian Johnson or Pablo Hidalgo that the official canon name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon has been changed to Turbus. And so we're going to ask you guys to help us out with that. We have a hashtag that we use pretty much on all of our Twitter posts and our Instagram posts that's called Make Turbus Canon. T-E-R-B-U-S, Make Turbus Canon. We're going to ask you guys to use that and to reach out to Rian Johnson and reach out to Pablo Hidalgo. Their Twitter handles will be in the show notes for this. And let's flood them with requests from Star Wars fans all over the world and encourage them to go on record and make Turbus Canon. That would be something that would be absolutely exciting, and we're asking you to join us in our little cause for that. So help us with that. Make Turbus Canon. All right. In just a minute, we are going to then share a little bit about Broom Boy and hear Rian Johnson's thoughts on Broom Boy from that same Collider IMAX screening Q&A. But we're also going to share what we think about it. Broom Boy is a controversial character. A lot of people didn't like the way that The Last Jedi ended. Well, those people generally didn't like The Last Jedi anyway. But especially the ending, I loved it. Samuel and Nate did as well. And Rian Johnson had some really interesting comments regarding that. So we're going to let him share those comments. And then we're going to talk about our thoughts about what he said on a what was a Patreon exclusive. And so we encourage you guys, if you are not a Patreon supporter of Tatooine Sons, your dollar a month or $5 a month or $10 or $25 a month, whatever you feel compelled to give, helps us put out family-friendly Star Wars content, content that we have heard stories from people all over the world that listen to this with their kids. We've got people that listen to it with their foster kids. We are endeavoring to bring positivity and hope to this Star Wars conversation on social media, which is desperately needed. There is so much negativity, so much. I'm not trying to besmirch or criticize other podcasters. Please don't get me wrong on this. I know a lot of you guys listen to our podcast. We listen to your podcast. I specifically do. We are thrilled that you're out there podcasting. But there are a lot of podcasts that have a real problem or tendency, not a problem necessarily, it's just the way that it is, to insert a lot of things into the conversation that may not be appropriate for children, and especially foul language and things like that. And we are striving on this podcast to make it family friendly and to have a conversation around Star Wars that doesn't require us to use language that would not be appropriate in front of children. And one of the reasons that we can do that is because we're speaking about this as a father and his sons. And so we encourage you guys to help support that. We want another generation of Star Wars fans to become passionate about this topic and be able to have interaction with the podcast community. And so that's why we put this out. If you'd like to be a sponsor, a Patreon supporter, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S. That will be in the show notes as well. Pledge a dollar and you'll get a handwritten thank you note from all of us here at Tatooine Sons. You'll get some pink Turbus Canon stickers. And if you subscribe at a higher level, you pledge at a higher level than that, there's other perks and gifts that you'll get throughout the way. So I encourage you guys to do that. And another thing that we do in order to keep this podcast going and make it this as successful as it can be is we have sponsors and we have supporters. And so we're very grateful for those supporters and those sponsors on Blog Talk Radio and on our podcast network. And so here is a message from our sponsors. Okay, so there is that message from our sponsors. Thank you so much for being a sponsor, both our Patreon supporters and our commercial sponsors as well. on Tatooine Sons. You guys make this podcast and everything else that we're doing on TatooineSons.com and what we do with social media and what we're hoping to do with some other initiatives out there. You make that all possible. So thank you guys so much. All right. So here we're getting ready to listen to this conversation regarding Broom Boy. If you've seen The Last Jedi, which if you're listening to a Star Wars podcast, I certainly hope you have, because you have been spoiled in a big way if you haven't. Here's the situation. I had this idea, this theory, when I saw The Last Jedi the first time, that Broom Boy was going to be the next big deal when it comes to Rian Johnson and his trilogy. I thought his new trilogy was going to be about Broom Boy. I thought it was going to be him growing up, or him having grown up, and he was a new Jedi leader. And I waxed on about that when The Last Jedi came out on several different podcasts. And then we got to go to this Collider IMAX screening, and they asked him the question about the Broom Boy. And so Steven Weintraub from Collider News is going to ask a question about the Broom Boy, and Rian Johnson is going to explain his thoughts on it, and then we're going to talk about it. Take a quick listen.
So one of the things from The Last Jedi that we talked about even in our very first reaction podcast way back in December was Broom Boy, and how much Broom Boy was a part of the story for us at the end. And so one of the questions that Rian was asked by Steven Weintraub from Collider asked a question about Broom Boy. So we're going to talk about that today. Or we're going to let Rian talk first.
A lot of people say that the Broom Boy at the end must be significant because he has the Force. You see him on screen showing he has it. But I feel that it's part more of the larger theme that anyone can be a hero, rebellion. Where did I go on this? Can you talk about that kid and his significance? How close did he, the Broom Boy, come to the editing room floor?
Well, I like the way you think about him. And yeah, it was something that I don't think it was ever...
does he have a name besides Broom Boy?
He does. Pablo made up a totally unpronounceable name that I can never remember. I call him... I thought I like Broom Boy. Let's stick with Broom Boy. It was never something that was, I think, actually, in my mind at least, I was never going to cut it from the movie. It was something that occasionally would come up, like, because we had that really nice scene with Leia and Rey and everybody in the Falcon. You're pulling back, and it zooms off into hyperspace. You get Iris out right there. But the truth is, for me, that scene was, at the end, with the kid, was more than nice, and it was more than... it wasn't really even about the kid and everyone can be a hero. It was about Luke and Luke's sacrifice. And to me, it was about Luke's ultimate act of coming back and accepting this mantle of being the myth that everybody needs him to be, and realizing that there's value in that, and realizing that people need the old stuff. They need myths. They need something to put their feet on in order to reach up to the next level and in order to have hope. And that he was the man who had to be that for everybody. And the fact that that last act did more than save 20 people in the resistance, although that's huge for them and for us and everybody, the fact that the real impact of that was that that legend then spreads throughout the galaxy, and that this kid is one of many who's hearing it and being inspired by Luke Skywalker.
What do you think about what our friend, and if you friend. Patreons have seen enough on Twitter, I know, over the last couple of days to know, we can say that a little bit with this, because he's endorsed this podcast just like you guys have. Sam, what do you think about Ryan's words regarding Broom Boy, his thoughts regarding it?
I think it's really cool. You said in the last podcast that you think he sees himself in Broom Boy.
In the main podcast for this week, yeah. The episode 10 regular weekly podcast. Yeah.
Right. And I think that was confirmed when he said that I never was going to cut that scene.
Yeah.
And I was never going to get rid of it. And he says, and it's not so much because like anyone could be a hero, it's more because of Luke's sacrifice and what that means to the galaxy at large, which is really cool because they've been talking about Luke Skywalker for a while, like with Legends of Luke Skywalker, the whole book is all about pretty much just what he said there. Also, he did confirm a little bit of something. That scene takes place at least weeks or months after.
I don't remember him confirming that.
Well, what he said is he talks about what Luke did, that sacrifice, was so huge that it spread, that legend spread across the galaxy.
So if they're playing, because BB-8, when the scene begins, you know, they cut back from, everybody's on the Millennium Falcon, it's in hyperspace, and like you said, it would have been a natural time to iris out and go into the credits with it. But instead of that, you cut to their broom boy in the house or whatever, hut, whatever it is, with the other two kids from the Canto Bight scenes. And they're, the one kid, in a language we can't understand, is playing with figures that they've made. And they look like the big, whatever, gorilla.
ATM-6s,
the gorilla AT-ATs is what I call them. They look like gorillas the way they walk. But anyway, the gorilla AT-ATs, and then this character that's like looks like Luke Skywalker. And you can tell he's telling the story of Krayt with that. So what do you think that what Luke did at the Battle of Krayt spreading throughout the galaxy, what do you think that does for kids like Broom Boy and the other kids at Canto Bight and kids all around the galaxy?
It spreads hope. Hope that there is a bigger picture and that sometimes there is problems, but there, if you still have that hope,
it's kind of like what Haldo said about Leia. About hope or whatever, it's like
hope is only
the sun. It's like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. It's kind of like saying that there's hope. You know, it brings hope to the kids, knowing, because they're in a pretty bleak.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation. They're basically slaves.
Yeah, so it's kind of a way for them to escape and know that there's hope and a chance.
It's so awesome.
It is cool.
I think that was a really. You know, if you guys listen to our reaction podcast and some of the other things I've said online and such, I've always had the impression that Ryan had an intention for this character to go beyond episode 8. But it seems pretty clear from this clip that, and from the question that was answered, that that's not his intention.
No.
He's a metaphor for the fact that if we hold on to our myths, we hold on to our bigger picture. So kind of, I think it's about losing our cynicism a little bit and having to have everything, you know, understand everything. Sometimes there are things that happen that you can't understand.
Right.
And Luke represents that in this galaxy at this time. He represents there is something out there that's bigger than life. There is something out there that we can't control and that it is good. And it can sacrifice itself, which, you know, we come from a faith background. We believe mm-hmm. in a God. We believe that there is someone that sacrificed himself for all of us. And we don't believe it is a myth. But that idea is prevalent in the Star Wars lore. And I think it's returned through what Rian Johnson did in The Last Jedi. It's not about midichlorians anymore. It's not about Rey having to be Kenobi's granddaughter or Palpatine's daughter. It's about there is something bigger that you can't understand. And your place in it, in Rey's case, maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Okay, what do you think? Do you like what Rian Johnson did with Broom Boy? Tweet to us about that. Let us know what you think. Tweet using the hashtag Broom Boy. And tweet to us using that hashtag at Tatooine Sons, and we can talk about that on Twitter and other social media accounts. Well, that's it. That's the podcast for the week. I guess we need to come up with a poll. We hope you enjoyed, first of all, enjoyed this review of some of the highlights of previous episodes of Tatooine Sons. And we do truly appreciate you guys listening to this. We'd ask you guys to subscribe to us if you you know, you're on iTunes. Go beyond that. Please don't just subscribe. We ask you to rate us and give us a review. A 5-star rating and a review makes so much of a difference on iTunes with people being able to find this podcast, family-friendly Star Wars conversation with that. We also have other things that we do on a regular basis. One of those is our Tatooine Sons HoloNet, which is a daily Star Wars news podcast, generally about 3 minutes long. No commentary, no spoilers, just the greatest Star Wars news of the day. And it's something you can listen to while you're getting ready in the morning, driving to work, whatever, and just get updated on some things that are going on in Star Wars with new information that comes out, new release information, and as well as the Star Wars day in history. And so we encourage you guys to subscribe to that. It's on iTunes, on Spreaker, on Stitcher, on Blog Talk Radio as well. It'll be on all of those different sources. So take a listen to that. On Tuesdays, Tatooine Tuesday, we have a special podcast that comes out in the midweek. It's our special midweek podcast where we interview a Star Wars fan and we ask them 10 questions. Sons on Tatooine Tuesday. So that will be coming up this Tuesday. This Tuesday's podcast will be with Peter Ross, one of our Patreon supporters from Toronto. And it was a great conversation with that, talking about Star Wars and life in general. And so it was a really encouraging conversation. I can't wait to have that up there and ready for you guys to listen to. We are on Twitter at Tatooine Sons. We are on Instagram at Tatooine Sons. We are on YouTube. Just search Tatooine Sons. And we are on Facebook, Tatooine Sons. So find us, interact with us. Our website, we have daily blog content that goes up as well. That's TatooineSons.com. And remember, that's always S-O-N-S. All right, our podcast poll of the week. Let's go back and talk about that Empire Strikes Back Last Jedi conversation that we had at the beginning of this. Do you agree that the changes, and I'll figure out how to word this on the Twitter poll a little bit differently, do you think that it's accurate to say that the changes between episodes 4 and 5 are very similar to the changes between episodes 7 and 8? Comment on that. There'll be lots of different choices for you to choose from. We ask you to please interact with our poll, retweet it, share it, comment, like, whatever you want to do, participate in that. Thank you so much for listening to Tatooine Sons. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to do something we love, which is sit around a microphone and chat about Star Wars and these movies and books. And next week, show will return next Saturday to its traditional format as Samuel the Hutt and BB Nate will join me on Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. May the Force be with you.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Yep.